Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I won't stop saying it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping him and praising his name. Obviously, this side of heaven. But right now, I'm just so thankful for what God is doing and is continuing to do within our church. And remember, we're one church in four locations, but I want to share something that we've been praying for and I have really been going to war for over the last few months. And today, during our first worship experience, we got to see it. And a little bit during our second worship experience, we got to see it. There was a Victory and Freedom weekend, obviously. And there were tons of ladies that went, and there was tons of men that went. And I wanted to let you know that a prayer's been answered because all the people that shared today were men. There's five guys that shared openly and vulnerably and clearly about what God is doing and has done and is going to continue to do in their lives. And I have been praying for the men of Jesus' church to rise up and be the men that they are called to be the husbands that they're called to be, the fathers that they're called to be, the friends that they are called to be. And we're seeing God answer that prayer before our eyes. Now, I know God's doing the same thing in ladies' lives, but it's just so powerful to hear men share what God's doing in their lives because they're not good at being open and vulnerable and honest about the transformational power that is God. And that is available to each and every one of us today. And you'd be thinking, well, what's he going to do? Is he going to just give it out? No, listen, God is still in the life-changing business. Yeah. He's never going to stop, never going to quit. And when we place ourselves in the presence of God, amazing things happen. And that's why we're in this series entitled Transform. And that's why we've stayed here, and we'll stay here for a total of 8 weeks. But I just want to pray before we dig into today's message. Father God, thank you so much for the life-changing, transformational power that you provide to us, Lord. God, thank you that you show us how and you give us a plan. And God, I just submit the rest of our time here today to you. Have your way. Lord, open our ears, our minds, our hearts to receive what you have for us. God, may these words not be mine, but yours. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, every week we've been talking about a few verses. Some of you already know where I'm going to go, and it's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And today, we're going to read these verses to launch us into what our message is about. And today's message is all about being transformed by the Word of God and allowing for His Word to change us and transform us. But how do we do that? You know, so many times we look at this book and we think, I can't understand that. I don't know what it means. I got my big sword today. I got my little sword. I got my electronic sword somewhere. It's in here. I got a bigger electronic sword. If you're willing to fight and dig into his word, he's ready to transform you. So let's read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, we all can buy into the lie that I don't understand the word. I'm not a reader. I'm not somebody that has ever done that. We can buy into who we used to be, or we can buy into who God's going to transform us into. Now, it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you may discern. What does that statement mean? It means to approve by testing, to show something is acceptable, to put to the test and reveal what is good. If you have been challenged recently and haven't been able to fully accept who God is and who you are in the eyes of God, your theology and your identity, how do you get that? Open the book. If you're somebody that's struggling with, I just really don't understand how to have a biblical worldview. I don't understand how to see the world through this book. How do you get that? Open the book. My Bible, this one was given to me as a gift. It usually just sits and looks pretty because I didn't want to ruin it. I have a Bible problem, okay? I have lots of Bibles. But I'm going to start carrying this sword around more because it has my name engraved on it. Look at this. It's etched in burned leather. It smells so good. It's amazing. So it's been sitting on my shelf just looking pretty. And I carry my little sword around, and I have an NLT study Bible that looks like it's been through a war. But listen, your worldview and not conforming to the world around you is what this book says. In the back of my Bible, I actually have a whole entire study area that answers questions that all of us have. What does the Bible say about war? What does the Bible say about modern medicine? What does the Bible say about capital punishment? What does the Bible say about marriage and remarriage and divorce? Listen, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'll go to war and dig in and hear God's the smartest man in the world, and he has everything that we seek from him, he'll give us. If you don't have a Bible, you don't leave here today without one. Or tell us that you don't have one. We'll get you one. And I'm not talking about your phone. Because even as I was praying for our message today, I got a text message on my electronic Bible. It'll distract you. This one, the only text you're getting is his. Allowing for the transformational power to happen means that we allow for God to make us into the image of Jesus. Becoming more like him day in and day out. You should be more like him tomorrow than you were today, and more like him on Tuesday than you were on Monday. My wife is a completely different woman than who I married. Thank God. I'm a different man than who she married. Thank God. And 10 years from now, we're going to be completely different than who we are right now. A lot of you, when I met you, you're completely different than who you were. Now, you still have spats of going back. I can still get hood too. I'm born and raised in White Oak and McKeesport. I can do it. I still got a flesh. You all got a flesh. You can get me there quick. I'll talk more about that later. But through the relationships that we have, we're being transformed. Through the renewing of our minds, we're being transformed. Through the revealing of God's truth, through his word, we're being transformed. Changed every single day. So what's the question that we have today? What's the problem that we're going to solve? Most of us know that the Bible is supposed to do something. But we're not willing to allow it to do it. What's the hardest piece of equipment at the gym? Anybody know? The front door. It's not the Smith machine. It's not the squat machine. It's none of those. It's the front door. The hardest part of understanding the Word of God is opening it and digging in. And you'll be changed and transformed when He reveals His truth to you through His Word. Most of us are spiritual evolutionists. And you're like, what does that mean? I thought He said He wasn't smart. You're waiting for this big bang to happen in your life. For everything to just change instantly and God to just, it's done. You're different now. And it doesn't happen that way for most of us. It's a process by which we are changed and transformed into the image of Christ daily. It does not happen in a way that it's just going to be instant. It takes work. It takes time. We all need three things that are going to make sure that that time is invested well. We need relationships, we need our minds changed, and we need the revealing of God's truth through His Word. And listen, information does not change us. Revelation through His Word leads us to change and transformation. Information is just that, info. It's not something that's going to change and transform you. But His Word will. So how does it happen? Hebrews 4, verse 12. Let's read. For the Word of God is living and active. Listen. This book isn't like any book you've ever read in your life. It is alive and life-changing, and it's actively waiting for you to pick it up, and it doesn't run out. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This book is so energetic and overflowing with energy that it's, think of the most energetic person in your life. And the way that the Word works pales in comparison to that person. I think of my son Lennon. He's like the Energizer Bunny on steroids. The more tired he gets, the more energy he gets. He can go, because he has the biggest fear of missing out. Rachel and I laughed the other night, and he was going to sleep. He's like, what are you laughing about? Why am I not a part? His activity pales in comparison to how active the Word of God is. How do you discern? And you're like, I'll just Google it. No. Every time you open the book, every time, God, change me through Your Word, and He will meet you. God, help me to understand Your Word today, and He will meet you. The best preacher you're ever going to hear is yourself. Because the Bible that I read says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Continue to speak it over your life. Continue to allow for your intentions to be revealed and your mind to be changed and transformed. This book will show you who you are and who God wants you to be transformed into, which is Jesus. Jesus. A lot of people want God to change their circumstances, but don't want God to change them. God, remove me from this situation. Instead of, God, have your way and make me more like Jesus through this situation. Your circumstances are real, but God wants to change you through them. God is desiring to transform us through a process of sanctification. When you meet Jesus, you receive what he did on the cross. You're instantly made right. You're righteous. You're instantly justified. As if you never sinned. But the sanctification process begins. It's time to jump in the fire and allow for him to reveal what needs to be removed and purify it. What if, big question, we approached every obstacle as an opportunity for God to transform us? What if we approached every obstacle as, God, I'm going to allow for you to change and transform me and make me more into the image of Christ through this obstacle? What if we looked at every obstacle as an opportunity for God to move? What if we looked at every setback as a setup for God? It's all about perspective. Listen, I'll be real and honest with you right now, because I know who God is, I know who I am, and I know that there's a real enemy that's going to war against every single one of us. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. I am a week away from getting my new certificate from my foot surgeon that says, you are healed, go hang it on your fridge. One week away. So what does the enemy do? He knows he can't attack my mind because of my health, because this has almost been a 5-year battle. He tries other things. His tactics aren't new. He's actually pretty stupid. Does the same thing. It's like clockwork. I could have told you, I'm going to get a good report from the doctor and I'll get a bad report somewhere else. It's not new tricks. It's the same old tricks over and over again. But whenever this word, his word, is engraved upon your heart, things change. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. Everybody say, all scripture.
All scripture.
Not some. Not the bits that you like. Not the ones that are really quotable and tweetable and Instagrammable and whatever. Not just Proverbs and Psalms. All of it, Old Testament, New Testament, every bit of the scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Remember, when you receive Jesus, you receive what he did on the cross. You're instantly made righteous, but then you have to be trained on how to walk in it. How do I have that Holy Spirit swagger? How in the world do I now walk knowing that I'm a son or a daughter of the King? How do I reveal the promises that he has for me, for my family, for our church, for you? Through his word, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Everything that you're going to be called to do as a son or daughter in Christ, there's a step-by-step manual put before you. For every good work. What is truth? Truth is what God uses to convict us when we are wrong. Truth is what God uses, his word, to put us back on track. Truth is what God uses to teach us what is right and form our biblical worldview. Truth is what God uses to prepare and equip us for our future. Whenever His truth and His word is being revealed to you, not just on Sundays, not just a connection group, but in your own quiet time, your devotional time, the time you've devoted to Him, He'll reveal to you everything that He wants to remove or place in your life. He will put you back on a track. You're all like little choo-choo trains. I think I can, Thomas. But every once in a while, you get derailed. And God wants to place you back on the track of becoming more like His Son. Growing. Becoming sharper. So how do you make sure you're on that track? How do you do that? As a matter of fact, I think next Sunday we have something coming up called Growth Track. That's one way. That's a good track to get on. If you haven't signed up for that yet, if you haven't committed to growing in your wisdom and knowledge of God and who He is and who He created you to be and what He wants to do both in and through you as a member of His church, that's for you. It's a good track to be on. Choo-choo, chugga-chugga. I was hoping somebody else would choo-choo, choo-choo. Anyone? Come on. All right. You guys are fun. You're allowed to have fun in church. Listen, every self-defeating behavior, everything that we have in our life that keeps us from moving forward needs to be replaced with truth. The process of sanctification and growing and helping us to move forward towards Him and answering the two questions that will change your life and affect every decision that you'll ever make. Who is God? And who are you to God? What is your theology and what is your identity? He wants to reveal that to you through His word. How do we mine this out? How do we make sure that we allow for God's word to transform us? James 1, 23 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of God's word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I don't know about you, but I love the last part of the sentence after the comma. It says, he will be blessed in his doing. When we become not just a hearer of the word of God, but we become a hearer and a doer, everything that follows that will be blessed. It doesn't say it'll be easy. My life got actually harder after I met Jesus. It was the best moments of my life. After I met Jesus, I actually became homeless. My parents lost their house. Every house that I've ever lived in, I lost, except for the one that I'm in right now, and I'll never lose it in Jesus' name. That generational curse is broken. That promise is being walked out. That I will turn all things to good for those who love Him. The best time in my life when I didn't have a home to call my own. The best time of my life was when all of my belongings were in the back seat of my car. And it was a little Ford Focus. You're like, you had a Ford Focus? Yeah, 6'7", driving a Ford Focus. God has a sense of humor. But that was when God revealed to me who He is and who I was because of Him. And what He wanted to do through and in my life. Your circumstances might not change, but God will change you through them. Transformation and blessing will follow those who are intentional about being in God's word. They continually spend time in it, and there's obedience that follows. You need to engage the word of God. Be intentional about it. Don't just let it happen by accident. Continually do it. Oh, I went to the gym today. I'm not totally different. I'm going to quit now. Right? You pick up your Bible, you read two verses, and you're like, well, my life still stinks. It's that spiritual evolutionist again. This big bang is going to happen. Intentionally, continually, and obediently. You make a plan, you walk it out, and you repeat. A few weeks ago, I'm sitting on the couch downstairs, laying down. It's early, really early. And Lennon's like a teenager. He sleeps in. We have to wake him up most times. But he got up early this morning. He comes downstairs, didn't say a word to me, grabbed a blanket, went into the kitchen, grabbed something out of the fridge. He had to get his coffee. That's what he said. Sits on the couch, right where Rachel sits every morning, pulls a blanket up. I said, what are you doing, bud? He said, I needed to spend time with God. And grabs his Bible and starts reading just like mommy does every single morning. My wife's intentional, she's continual, and she is somebody that is obedient to what the Word of God says. And God is using her to transform our son. God will use what he does in his word through you to change other people's lives. Through your devotion, through your quiet time, through your intentionality, he will change other people because of what they see. The perfect law that gives us freedom. Freedom from what? Faulty mindsets. Behaviors that will land you in hell and destroy you in the here and now. His word is full of promises that transform our outlook on life, which leads to better and clearer vision for the future. The Bible encourages us by reminding us that God is in control and blesses those who follow him. So how are we transformed by the word of God? Intentionally doing it, spending time. Our salvation is revealed to us by being intentional, spending time with him, studying his word. Being somebody that continually digests it over and over and over again. That you're so close to him, that you're in a working relationship with him, that you live in his presence, you abide there. Remaining there constantly. To meditate on his word. No matter what change you want in your life or you're believing for in your life, God will expose to you through his word, how he wants you to become more like Jesus through that. So how do you spend time with God? When do you spend time with God? Daily, preferably. And I'm not just talking about opening up your phone and reading the verse of the day on your Bible YouVersion app. That's great of them to do that. But continually allowing for God to speak to you, how he does through his word, through others, through teachings, through worship, through prayer, all of these things. You know, every single week we preach a message at four locations of Bridge City Church. That means four different people are speaking, four different people are delivering the same message. You can go onto the website and listen to them. Did you know that? Every single pastor that teaches today, you can go listen. That's 4 days out of your week that you could have a word in your life. Oh, I missed church last week. Listen, we have an amazing creative team that puts out an online worship experience every single week for you to experience, for you to share with your friends and family so that they can be changed and transformed by the word of God that's being preached. We obediently become a doer of the word. We put it into practice. How do we put it into practice? Make a plan. Every time I hear doer of the word and put into practice, I can't help but think of Home Depot, and Home Depot is the place for doers. Listen, it ain't for me. Unless I'm going to pick up something for my lawn and my lawnmower, I don't know what to do in Home Depot. I just walk around and talk to people. I'm serious. And I don't even wait for employees anymore. I just call my father-in-law. He knows that store like the back of his hand. Hey, what aisle's this in? Oh, that's right down there. North for Sales Home Depot is soon going to be a campus of Bridge City Church because of how many Home Depot employees. I think there was 5 during our first worship experience. Why? Because one person got the word of God into their heart, went there and started doing what God called them to do and shared about Jesus. And then that person married a person that worked at Home Depot. And then those two became a power couple and started inviting the whole entire Home Depot of North for Sales. And now we have some corporate members of Home Depot. Listen, this is a place for doers and doers that get things done. This is his home, and he wants to send you out to get people. One orange bucket at a time. No, I'm serious. Those blue buckets from Lowe's are just trying to be something that they're not. Home Depot is far superior. Make a plan. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Is it practical? And are you going to be able to prove it? Did you actually do it? My Bible has a plan day by day for the whole entire year right in the back. It has a plan. It'll tell me what to read, when to read it, what day to read it, what month, all of it. Now, the electronic ones are way easier because you just check a button. You don't have to write. I feel weird writing in my Bible. I don't know why. I'll highlight things, but I don't like writing. It's perfect. Why would I want to change something, write a note? I don't do that. I'd write it electronically. But how do you know that you're going to be able to do this plan? You have people around you that are going to surround you and encourage you and equip you and empower you and push you forward. You're a choo-choo train on a track. Sometimes you need somebody to come behind you and make sure that you're getting fueled and encouraged and equipped, whether you're a steam engine or a diesel engine or a coal engine, whatever you are. You need somebody to make sure that you're getting filled up. Right. If you're not in a group yet, Sean Hardy shared this. Get in a group. If you don't have a group of friends that gets around you, helps you read the Bible, prays with you, encourages you, and helps you decide what your next step is going to be, now listen, I can't help you. Even Jesus had a group. And he's the walking incarnate God, and he could do whatever he needed to do, but he needed people around him. He's the extrovert of all extroverts. And then I'm a close second. All the people, all the time. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us into the image of the Son of God. God will transform you if you spend time with him. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of Jesus, so let's give the Holy Spirit something to work with here. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit interprets the word for you. The Holy Spirit gives you everything you need to understand who he is and who you are. Give the Holy Spirit something to do. Spiritual growth and this change happens when we replace the lies with the truth of God. The truth always hurts before it sets you free. This two-edged sword will pierce every area of your life so that you can become more and more like Jesus on the daily. Listen, every day asking the Holy Spirit to change you and transform you, every day allowing for him to speak into your life. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand instead of saying, I don't understand. We need the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus to fully understand, appreciate, and live out the truth of God's word. So what are we going to do and how are we going to be intentional? How are you going to be continually spending time in the Word of God? Who's going to hold you accountable to being obedient? Listen, this book doesn't want to tell you what to do. God wants to show you and reveal himself to you through this book. I don't like getting told what to do. It's just something that's in me. I'm a recovering, stubborn person. I've been in recovery for a long time. I think once you're stubborn, you're always stubborn and you get free, you're healed. I'm less stubborn today than I was yesterday, and tomorrow I'll be less stubborn than I was the day before that. But I love getting shown what to do and not told. There are people that are willing to walk this out with you and show you and encourage you and equip you. How do we see it happen? By making sure that our foundation is built on the Word of God. Matthew 7:24-27, the NLT version's on the screen, red letters of Jesus. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. My ESV study Bible says that everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. So anyone, everyone, I'm sure the Message translation says all people who listen. Jesus is telling us that everything that he has for us is available to us through his word. Though the rain comes and torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So my last question for you today, what's your spiritual house built on? Lies? Traditions? This is how it's always been. This is as good as it's going to ever get. Or is it built on the foundation of God, his word, his promises? Matt did a great job earlier communicating what's available for us at the cross. And I know that there were people that responded and the heavens rejoiced, angels rejoiced, we rejoiced. But I truly believe that there's other people that your foundation is yet to be poured and you've yet to allow for Jesus to place the first brick on who he wants to build you into. The cornerstone, if you will. So if you've never received him and what he did on the cross for you, let today be your day. Stop just being a hearer and being a doer. His word tells us that the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What's the first thing you need to do? Accept the gift. If you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and accepted the payment that he wants you to get instead of the one that you've been working for, which is sin and separation from him, just accept the gift. So with every eye open and every head up, we did the whole bow your head, close your eyes thing. We gave you that opportunity. You might have missed it. But now everyone's looking because this is a public thing. We're a group of called out ones. That's the church. We're called out to celebrate. Let's celebrate. If you don't have that day, if you don't have that time, if you don't have that moment, just reach your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need my foundation to be poured and I need the cornerstone to be placed and I need to repent of my past and receive the forgiveness of who you are so that you can lead me into my great future. If you don't have that moment, just reach out to heaven and say, God, that's me. Anyone at all. Father God, thank you for continuing to transform us and change us through your word. Father God, thank you that we will continue to be intentional and continual and obedient. Lord, lead us into your presence. And while we're there, change and transform us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you for who we are because of you and who we get to be because of you. Lord, we praise you, we honor you, and we celebrate the transformation that's taking place in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Nick.